That book, I discovered something. I discovered I didn't address the subject of thorns or the subject of buffeting. I know I make jokes about buffeting, you know. It's not really a joke. The word buffet and the word buffet are spelled the same. And so I'm always telling people that I buffet my body regularly. When Paul was talking about I'm being buffeted regularly, he says, I beat my body black and blue. So I noticed that there was a lack in that book addressing the subject of buffeting so that people can understand that every single thing that happens in your life is not necessarily of the devil. You know, we tend to think that every bad thing that happens is devil-oriented, and we give him way more credit. You know, coming out of talking about the wilderness, you know, I showed you in a half a dozen messages that God is the one who puts us in the wilderness. It's not the devil putting us in the wilderness. It's not our disobedience putting us in the wilderness. But it is God Himself, because the wilderness is that place of training. It's that place where we learn how to serve, you know. And in the same sense, when things happen in our life, when suffering happens in our life, we instantly want to shriek from it because we're creatures of comfort. And we don't want any kind of pain at all in this mortal life that we're living. But folks, we haven't made it to heaven yet. You have to go to heaven to have all your tears wiped away. On this earth, there are going to be many tears. There are going to be many days of pain. In the book of 2 Peter, it's all about suffering. It's all about suffering. Peter talked a lot about suffering, actually, in both books. So, buffeting or suffering is a part of everything. Now, I have a PowerPoint here today, praise God, so I'm going to give you a little bit. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll show you where I'm going to get the text. Probably the next couple weeks we'll finish this, but I'm going to give you a good rundown of what Paul was talking about when he was talking about buffeting, okay? And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you got your Bible, you can turn there if you want to, follow along. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. By the way, he's talking about himself, okay? And many theologians believe that this incident is when he was stoned at Iconium. He actually died, okay? God knoweth, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So we're talking about having an out-of-body experience. Yet Paul said it was so real he couldn't tell whether it was in the body or out of the body. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Not lawful up to a man to utter. Of such an one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth, but now forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, I'm nothing, is what he's saying. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me, here it is, a what? A thorn in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice something. He's a thorn in the flesh, okay? He was given unto me, why? Because of my abundant revelations, my abundant visions. Because, you know, Paul had the subject of the church. They didn't have the church subject, you know, in the times. He's a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that he might depart from me. I have this thorn in the flesh that is piercing me and causing me problems. And I ask God three times to take it away. And God's answer to me, you know, you hear these people say that God says yes, God says no, and God says maybe. That's a bunch of baloney. Let me tell you what God says, yes and no. Period. But you have to understand, my timetable is not the same as God. Sometimes he says yes, and 15 years later it happens. Okay? So, you know, don't get messed up in your timetable thing. But God gave him a clear answer to this one. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, hallelujah. When I am weak, then I am strong. Now let me give you the list there. I will gladly in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, all of that good stuff, you know? You guys remember the little story I told you about the little boy that found a cocoon? And you know how little boys like to take bugs in their house? You know? Yesterday I noticed little girls like to collect bugs too. But she took this cocoon in her house, and she put it, or he did, put it in his bedroom, and he watched it. Weeks went by. Finally, he noticed one day it was moving around a little bit. He thought, oh, wow, it's about ready to hatch. So he sat and he watched. Before you know it, out popped an arm. And then hours later, out popped a little head. And then hours later, out popped the other arm. And he noticed that it was this beautiful butterfly that was actually stuck in this cocoon. And so he watched, and hours went by, and this thing was just struggling like you couldn't believe, trying to get out of this cocoon. So he said, doggone it, I'm going to help him out. So he went and got a pair of scissors, snipped the cocoon, bloop, out popped this blob of a creature, a fat-looking little thing that had these little shriveled-up wings. They were just teeny little shriveled up things. Here, this was an emperor moth, which, by the way, gets about that big. And it was shriveled up inside of, and he seen it, it had this fat little body. And he watched it, and it walked around for a couple hours, and then it just kind of dried up and fell over and died. See, what he didn't know was, the struggle of getting out of that cocoon would push all of that fluid that was in its body into its wings. And it would make those wings inflate. And then when it came out of the cocoon, its wings would be in full force. And all it would have to do is just let its wings dry, and its body would be real skinny, and it would fly away and do what its purpose is. God had intended the struggle of the cocoon to produce the product. And see, that's why I say it's so wrong to just hate struggle so bad that you do everything you can to get out of it. Now, I know, not necessarily talking about butterflies when we're talking about suffering, you know. But the fact of the matter is, we all need some pressure. We all need some trials. If we are to develop into what God has saved us to be. Now, the text that I actually picked this morning is from the Apostle Paul. And he tells us why he is able to soar above all of the heads of most of the other believers of his day. He tells us that it was the pain and the suffering that he endured to get God's power operating in his life. Paul was noted for going into the city that was having a revival, and the Holy Ghost followed him. And he would pray for these people, and they would all get filled with the Holy Ghost. That special gift, that special empowerment was in his life. Oh, hallelujah. And so we have to understand that each of us have a list of gifts. Now, Paul had the privilege of being visited personally by Jesus. In Acts 9, Jesus physically appeared to Paul in his glory. So he did have the privilege of actually seeing Jesus face to face. And look what Jesus said to him, or about him, I should say, after he was blinded by the glory of the Lord and he was told to go to a specific place, to a specific house, God began talking to this person, this disciple named Ananias. This is a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. He said to him, to the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." And the Lord said, "Arise, I want you to go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas of one named Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying." In other words, I'm listening to him pray right now. "And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority of the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.'" In other words, "God, I'm a little shook up about this guy. I don't know if I want this assignment." "The Lord said to him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, the children of Israel.'" Now look at this last part. "For I will show him great things," how many great things "he will suffer for my name's sake." So Paul did have the privilege of being showed by Jesus all of the specific things that he was going to have to suffer for Jesus' sake. Now with this, I want to talk about the buffeting that Paul mentions. You see, what this man endured can teach us a lot about problems, suffering, and the trials that we have to face in this life. Just like the butterfly who couldn't survive without the suffering of the cocoon, the sufferings of this life refine us and prepare us so that we might take flight in the glory of God. And we're going to look at the passage and break down what I just talked about. First of all, let's look at blessings out of life's buffeting. These are blessings sometimes considered. The pain of thorns. The pain of thorns. Paul said, "Lest I be exalted above measure. Though the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Why was it given to him? Because God was going to speak great things through him. What is this? We're going to talk about it. There's a personality of pain. There's a personality to pain. And we all must realize that every single pain or everything that we go through has a personality. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, whether you realize it or believe it or accept it or whatever, according to the Bible, nothing that happens to you, God does not know about. He knows of every single thing that happens to our life. See, the problem is we have this TV preacher mentality of God. You know what I'm talking about. You know, send me the $1,000 and God will do this for you. You know what I'm talking about, the TV mentality that if you're not getting things from God, then you must not have enough faith. Or if you're sick, it's because your faith lacks, or else you shouldn't be sick, or if you go to the doctor and they tell you they give you this bad report, then God must have forsaken me, or you know what I'm talking about, and this TV mentality, where you got to stand on your head to preach, so that people get excited about listening to your new great revelations about the future, Everybody today wants to talk about the future of what's coming and what's going to happen and what's this and what's that. Well, I got news for you, folks. I live right now. I don't care what's going to happen 10 years from now. I care what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And my eyes ain't in the clouds praying that this great revelation is going to happen that this guy says. I passed that stupidity. I listened to those guys before, and most of them, I think, are boneheads. That's my opinion of them. I mean, I can't even listen to a radio guy because I want to smash the radio, and they cost too much to smash them. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, Eric? If you want to accept Jesus right now and you don't want to go to hell, pray this prayer with me. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, now that you prayed this prayer, your feet are established in heaven. Okay? Send me $25. Help me keep this on the air so I can lead more people like that. In other words, this is a soul-saving business. It's a business. And we already see the abuse of the stupidity, air-conditioned doghouses, We already see the abuse of these guys. And none of them will tell you the truth. The truth is, you pray that prayer 10 million times and not be saved. That's the truth. The truth is, you're not saved till it's in here. That's the truth, okay? When you got it in here, the Bible says he came to himself. That's getting it in here. When you come to yourself, you get it in here, and there's nothing can take it away from you. I don't care how bad life gets, how many bad reports you get. The world didn't give me this joy, and the world can't take it away. Well, hallelujah, if it's in here, that's all. That's the fact of the matter. All kinds of people got this stuff up here, Oh, yeah, I prayed that prayer 22 years ago. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? It don't work. It don't work. It's in here. That's where it works. You can't go back. You know, when it's in here, there's no back to go to. You know? I mean, if you look back, there's just a wall there. I'm serious. Because, you know, the Bible says he forgets it. It's gone. What past? What are you talking about? No, every now and then you have this memorization of the past, but, which, by the way, the devil brings up. Hey, God bringing it up. It's him bringing it up, you know? You know, every pain that we experience in this life has a personality. Well, hallelujah. Paul tells us that the nature of the trial that he endured by two specific words, the word thorn and the word buffet. We have all endured being pricked by a thorn. And if you weren't, you should have been with me yesterday as I was walking around the woods looking for mushrooms. Man, I was so pricked by thorns, I laid in bed this morning, held my foot up, and Susie took a pair of tweezers and took one out of my foot. Because I still had one in there. We all know the pain of being pricked by a thorn. It's this piercing, nagging pain. That just, every time you, like if it's in your foot, you step down, you go, oh yeah, you raise your foot up a little bit, you know? Now the word thorn, let me give you this. This isn't the kind of thorns that Paul's talking about. The word thorn in the Greek text means a sharp wooden stake to torture or to impale someone. You know, Paul was the original vampire hunter. Took a wooden stake, you know. The word buffet, listen, means to take your fist and smash somebody in the face. That's what the word buffet means. So the word thorn means to be impaled by a wooden stake, and the word buffet means to be struck with a fist. Well, hallelujah. Now, I can't tell you what his thorn was. I mean, I can make all kinds of suggestions. You know? Whatever it was, Paul endured it. It was to him like being beaten with an open fist and being impaled by a wooden stake. That's the kind of pain Paul felt from this suffering that he was going to, this thorn in the flesh. The nature of the thorn, like I said, I don't know what it was. It is suggested that Paul's thorn was an eye disease. Like this scripture here in Galatians 6, you see how large letter I have written unto you with mine own hand, you know? So it was, and then in 2 Corinthians 10, for his letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. So many guys have all these different ideas about what his thorn was. You know, they say his eyes were bad, so that's why he had to write big letters, you know. Or they said his body was, weak looking. He could barely talk. That's what means contemptible, you know. Some say the thorn was malaria. Some say they think he had epilepsy. Others say he had some physical affliction. But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody knows for sure. But whatever it was, it made the task of preaching the gospel and ministering the churches more difficult for the Apostle Paul. I have my own personal beliefs. I believe it was all the suffering that he was going to have to endure. That's my personal belief. Some don't believe that. That's all right. Hallelujah. One thing we know for sure is it was carried out by Satan, but it was conceived by God. God sent it. Period. And since God can't do evil, He used the devil. He used the devil. Keep in mind that whatever it was, it afflicted this guy. But, see, this is the thing we have such a hard time with. It was a part of God's plan for his life. Now, some of you might have a hard time with that whole idea, you know. You might be going through something right now. And if you aren't going through something right now, you can rest assured that you will go through something down the road. Pain is coming your way. Get that in your head. We're all going to experience many periods of thorns and buffetings in this life. No one likes them, but they're all part of human experience. And we have to understand that these things that happen are a part of human experience. It's okay to shrink from things. It's okay to not understand everything. You know, it's okay to not have an answer for everything. We got to have answers for everything. It's okay just to say, I don't know. My God, why have you forsaken me? God didn't forsake him. He loved him. But he let him suffer. Because Jesus was 100% human. And it's part of the human experience to suffer. Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Ecclesiastes 2:23. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart is not taken rest at night. This is vanity. When the thorns pierce you and the buffeting shake your foundation, you need to remember, though, that nothing can touch your life that is not a part of God's plan. Read Romans 8:28. I'm not going to read it for you. I want you to write it down. I want you to go home and I want you to read it. Nothing. Romans 8:28 can happen in this life that is not a part of God's plan. Now, I personally think, this is what I think. You know, I got a reason for this. Do you know Jesus did thousands of miracles? You know that? We had just a handful of healing miracles in the Bible. Show me one healing miracle in the Bible he did the same way. There's no copies in the Bible of him healing. Shoot, he even goes to graveyard and touches caskets. Raises them up out of caskets. He's good at messing up funerals. One day, a guy comes up to him. He says, I'm blind. He goes, psst, in his face. Now, if you walked up here to this altar and said, I need... Huh? Yeah, what would you be thinking? Yeah. Huh? Although for some reason I did blow in a demon's face and they went out. I don't understand that one, but or why I did it. So I kind of understand him spitting in the face. Another guy, he reaches down, spits in the, makes mud, plaps mud on his eyeballs. So we're going to put a barrel of mud up here. You need help with your eyes, we'll fix them for you. You know? He didn't do it the same way. That's the reason why I believe he didn't tell us what the thorn was. Right? I don't know if you understand that or not, what I just said. That means that whatever you're going through, you can claim it as a thorn in the flesh or as buffeting, because you really don't know what it was. If he had named his thorn, we might conclude that the promises of God associated with that thorn are only good for others and not with us. Just those that have that problem over there. Folks, he didn't even cast out devils the same way. You know? But since we don't know what the thorn was or what he suffered from, we can apply the promises to any situation that we face in life. See, you know, there's a whole lot of people, they don't understand things. It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I went around and asked, you know, write down an explanation, I'd get all kinds of explanations about what that means. I see it totally different. I see that verse really different than what a lot of people mean, what a lot of people think. You know, I see it, Floyd, as God will be, Jesus Christ will be, whatever I need in whatever time I'm in. You know, I mean, wherever I'm at, he's unchanging. He's unchanging. I mean, what do you need help with yesterday? You don't need help with yesterday. You can't do nothing about yesterday. That's gone. Whatever you did, it's over. Right? Yep. Whatever state that you're in, life, he's there, you know? Now, there's a place of pain. There's a place of it. For Paul was in the flesh. It afflicted his physical man. Often thorns and buffeting that we endure in this life, they manifest themselves in the physical realm through sickness or other forms of suffering. At other times, we endure emotional pain, such as depression or loneliness or heartbreak. Sometimes our thorns will be spiritual in nature, as we doubt our salvation, or we struggle with holiness, or we're in this battle for spiritual pride, you know? I'm trying to tell you that, and trying to let you know that suffering comes in all shapes and forms. When we hurt on many different levels in this life, and not all of which are visible to the naked eye, we should never be surprised at how thorns of life manifest themselves. They happen to us no matter what. No matter how good we are, no matter how faithful we are, no matter how what we are, thorns happen in this life. And there is a place of pain. Yours may not be in the flesh. Yours may not be there. But God doesn't think, well, that's a big one, this is a little one. You know? Yours might be an emotional thorn. You know? And you might not know how to get rid of it. This emotional thorn may torment you. You know, I told you guys a few months ago about the Lord speaking to me when I was, Susie and I weren't married too long. We were probably married about a year. And the Lord spoke to me and told me He was taking my kids away from me. And I was kind of like David. I did everything I could to get him to change his mind. Because they were little and I wanted to see him grow up. And the Lord said no. And betwixt, and you can ask my wife, we did nothing. And I watched it all happen. I didn't even look for him. Almost killed me, but when the first time I just let him go because he had told me I'm taking him away. He said, but I'll keep him. You know, I don't know how you would feel, but that was an emotional strain, you know? See, Charlie, I kept having nightmares. I don't even dream. Generally, I'm going to tell you, Charlie, if I dream, it's God. He's talking to me. Because I know you guys all dream. Some of you have vivid dreams every night. I don't. When I remember a dream, I'm praying about the thing. You know, I'm making sure it ain't Papa John's. But I'm praying about it. Sometimes them extra peppers can do it to you, you know. You know. But I kept having these dreams of them burning up in a fire. And I'm standing outside the house and I can't do nothing. And they're just going up in flames. I'll tell you what, that wakes you up scared. I kept having them dreams and that's why I just kept seeking him. You know, what is going on with these kids? And he just says, give them to me and don't worry about it. I dedicated them to him and never thought about that day and I never had to dream again. So I knew he was there. And I knew when he said he was going to do this that there was going to be some pain in this. And to this day, folks, there's still pain in it. And I'm talking about it and I still have pain in the whole thing. And they're grown, 30-some years old, you know. And I still have pain. And I still carry it, and I know he has to keep me. So not all pain is going to the doctor and getting a bad report. You know? Some of you are going to have pain that are from the Lord, and you're not understanding why. And, you know, some people, I mean, maybe even you, if God told you that, you might give up on serving God. I mean, that ain't going to change the situation, but you might say, that's it, I'm done. If you're going to do that stuff to me, I ain't serving that kind of a God. See, you have the wrong idea of who God is. The Bible says that we're the clay, and He's the potter, and the potter has the right to do with the clay whatever he wants. Any of you guys ever make anything in shop? What'd you do with it after you made it? Okay. Now, why did you do something like that? But it was your project, right? You didn't blow anybody else's up, did you? Yeah. It was yours. You had the right to do with it whatever you wanted to do. You know, I made this real nice. I used to do lots of silk screening in industrial arts. I did lots of silk screening. I made this real nice screen, and this one teacher made me mad. I went with my fist right through it. He goes, what are you doing? I said, it was mine. I can do with it what I want. Okay, you can get a failing grade for that project too. I can do what I want. But I was a dumb teenager. And knew it all. So, you know, if there's this place of pain, understand that he is the potter. And don't you listen to these liars on TV that tell you there's no such thing as it once you're serving God. Finally, how about the persistence of pain? The word buffet is a verb. It's in the present tense, listen to me, and it's in the active voice. Now, I like English. Most of you go, "Ah, I hate English." English was one of my favorite subjects in school, English and history. I hated math, but English, I understand all the adverbs, verbs. I understand all that stuff. It was easy for me. When I tell you it's in the present tense, and it's in an active voice, you may not, that may not mean much to you. But what it's telling us is that this thing that afflicted our brother Paul, who wrote this, was something that was continuing in his life. In other words, he lived with this thing that was bothering him all the time. When this problem came into his life, it came to stay. He kept begging God, take it away. And God said, no. So he endured it. You need to understand that things we may be called upon to endure may not just last an hour or even a few days. Some people, for God's own reasons, are given thorns and buffetings that they must endure for years. Why? I don't know. I don't know. You might find the answers in the next few verses, but some of the things there will be no answers for. They will be mysteries to you in this life. And what I'm telling you today is don't get mad at God and go to hell over a mystery. Don't do it. Only in eternity will we know all the reasons why some of the things come to pass in this life. Now, I said that to encourage you. When thorns and buffetings of life come your way and they linger in your life, do not get discouraged. God is doing something special in your life, and in His clear time, His perfect timing, He will make the things perfectly clear to you. But in this life, probably not. Probably not for some things. Just know this, that His grace is sufficient. I know as Pentecostals, we don't have an understanding of grace, really. I mean, you know, we think sometimes grace is a license to do bad things and it's okay with God, you know? Grace is the power to keep you from doing bad things. You can tell I talked to kids yesterday. I'm using words like bad, evil. Sometimes, Brett, it's hard to get it together, you know. When you minister to so many different age groups. Praise the Lord. Next week I'm going to talk about the purpose of the thorns. And you'll understand why we have to endure these things. Why we have to endure these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand up with me? Father, we come to You. Lord, I thank You for this group of people here this morning, Lord, Your people that have listened to this word. And Lord, I just pray today that each and every one of them will understand that there is a thorn and a buffet that might be sent our way. And Lord, you have promised to keep us through them all. And God, we will stand through no matter what happens. We will stand. And Lord, we will be strong. And Lord, because we know that your grace is sufficient. And your grace will keep us. And will help us to endure the trials of this life. And Father, someone among us this morning that may be going through these trials, God, I just pray right now that you would give them a special touch here today. You would touch them on this special day. And you would help them, Lord, and give them a word of encouragement to keep them in your power. Father, give them a dream tonight to show them that you're still with them and you're keeping them. And you're making this life and you're molding them into the person that you want them to be. And God, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we just never fail to give you the glory and to give you the praise for everything that you do for us. Help us, Lord, to stand strong for you. In Jesus' name we pray.